CBSI in the World, I'm John Batchelor. Springtime in Connecticut, in New England, springtime in London. And yet, Joseph, I go to the strike news. I had to dig for it a little bit. It's not as prominent as it was weeks ago, but then again, it's alarming. UK train strikes enter 10th month. Here are the dates for March. This begins to be like a concert series. You know, the famous band is touring, and here are the dates, and sign up early and get your tickets online. Which tube lines are affected? Which train companies are affected for Wednesday, March 15th, the 16th, the 18th? What does this mean for life in London? Have people gotten so used to it? It's like the Blitz. Here they come tonight.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, people seem to be settling into the reality that the strikes aren't going away anytime soon. And so you occasionally see some a flurry of activity in the headlines of new rounds of strikes are announced, especially those involving the medical field, like doctors or nurses or ambulance drivers. But for the rest of it, unfortunately, it's just becoming a fact of life. And this has serious economic costs because, for example, this is a big problem in the famous West End of London, the theater district, because theaters are finding that people don't want to book tickets far in advance because they don't know if the announcement of a rail strike will make it difficult for them to get into town to go to shows. People are finding that it's very disruptive to their work schedules or their meeting schedules if they don't know if trains are going to be operating on certain days. So unfortunately, people are used to it, but they are continuing to pay a pretty heavy price for it.
And it's about costs. It's about money. It's about raises. Or is there some other social issue? I always get suspicious only because the unions have long been associated with labor. Is this a labor power play looking for the next election?
I'm not entirely sure that it is that, actually, because this has created a real dilemma for the Labour Party, where the party leader, Keir Starmer, has tried mightily to keep leading members of his party off of the picket lines because he's afraid of antagonizing all of the voters who are inconvenienced by these strikes. I think that a big part of it is related to pay. The fact that the public sector employs a large proportion of the workforce in the UK, and those people feel the inflation and cost of living crisis as keenly as everyone else. Part of it is some longstanding disputes to do with work rules and efficiency. This is especially an issue with some of the rail unions. There are a bunch of issues there, but this would all be very different if we were not in the grip of the kind of inflation crisis that the UK is facing right now.
Life in London also includes anticipating springtime. You will recall Joseph and I started talking about this during the depths of the pandemic when it was forbidden to walk in the parks of London. And the mild European winter and the mild New England winter suggest that we're all anxious to get on to the tulips. But what is it now, Joseph? Is the heat on? Are the people inconvenienced by the weather? Or is everybody just looking around for those daffodils?
I think the heat is definitely still on, but the daffodils are in evidence now. They're starting to pop up, and you're starting to get some of the flower and fruit trees, which are really quite beautiful at this time of year. So I think that people do have a sense that the winter is coming to a close, even if we've got a cold snap in front of us. And that is bringing a huge sense of relief, partly because spring is such a pleasant season, and partly because it also holds some hope of people feeling less stress about their home heating and energy bills.
And your understanding of life in London, has it returned to commuting, or is the work from home still mixed into the story? It is in New York. I haven't checked on London for a few weeks.
Well, what I'm finding is that a lot of people do seem to be going back into the offices now, at least a few days a week. You seem to be encountering somewhat less resistance to that here than might be the case in parts of the U.S. So definitely you have the commute. But again, this is where things like the rail strikes come into bite, because that is a major impediment to trying to get things back to normal on the work front. When people, now that they want to go into the office, might sometimes find that as a practical matter, they're not able to get there.
And Joseph, one more thing about we talked about the virus before. It's become a major story here. And I liked your analysis that UK was spared and Europe was spared the culture wars. But when you see the London Commentariat, do they want to know the origins? Are they sincere in saying, I mean, as a historical scientific point of view, do they need that detail, or is it acceptable that you're just never going to know?
Oh, I think there is definitely a lot of interest in that, and you know, a certain desire, including on the part of the public, to dig into what actually happened there. I think there's also an understanding that this is relevant to what the future relationship between the UK and China would look like and how trustworthy an economic or diplomatic partner China is or is not. But I think that the temperature on this debate is lower because it didn't get wrapped up into some of these broader political fights in the way it did in the US. So I think it's more a matter that people are watching the news as it comes in without being, you know, triggered into paroxysms of anger about it.
It's encouraging to think there is a place on Earth that doesn't regard everything as politics. Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of The Wall Street Journal, he writes political economics in a London, in a UK that is now rumored to be avoiding recession. Can it come our way? I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.